Good morning. I'm wondering if I even need to preach now. But my name is Scott. I am the youth pastor here at Finley E. Free, and I am looking forward to being able to spend the next hour with you. Oh, no, don't worry about that. But it's good to be here with you. Pastor Blair and the team are in Senegal right now, and he got a text this morning, and there they are worshiping there in West Africa, and so a little bit earlier than we did. For those of you that are here and you normally come to third service, welcome to second service. See what I did there? Because about this time, yeah. Yep, she's one of our youth leaders. So it's good to be here with you. I was looking 4 years ago at this time. We were in another series talking about relationships and parenting, and guess who got to bring a message about parenting teenagers? Oh, that would be me. And guess what weekend it happened to be on? Yep, you guessed it, fall back weekend. So I don't know, I think that there might be something known out there that youth pastors just need a little extra sleep before they preach. And so I'm happy to be here today with us. So if you're a guest with us, we've been in a series. We started about 4 weeks ago talking about parenting and rebooting, getting our family back on track. And we've been working on a memory verse together as a group that comes from Matthew chapter 22, 37, and it's up on the screen. And so the last couple weeks, I know at least last week, it was, we're going to show it, and then we're going to take it away and see how we're doing. And so we're going to try that again this morning. And if you're a guest with us and this verse, you're like, I can't memorize that quick, that's okay. Just do what I used to do in choir and just say watermelon, watermelon, and have your lips moving. In fact, when I tried out for sixth grade choir, the choir teacher said, that was nice, Scott, but why don't you try again next year? So I didn't make it. I couldn't even do the watermelon right. So we're going to do this verse here, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, together, and then we will take it away, and then we will see how we do with that, all right? You guys all ready for this? All right, here we go. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Did I mess that up? Like I said, we should just stop when Rex was done. All right, let's try it again. We're a church of second chances. Put the verse back up there. I'm just kidding. Let's take it away. All right, here we go. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Yes. We did it. Or I should say I got it. All right. Another thing that we've been doing in this series is we've been showing pictures of the past, a little bit of throwback Sunday of different people on staff on our team and particularly pastors. And so I have some pictures here that I would like to share. These are pictures of my mom and dad right there on the top left-hand corner. And then for some reason, when we were kids, I have a younger brother about 5.5 years younger than me. His name is Jason. And every year we would get the same picture in pretty much the same pose. Just the background changes there. So from like 8 to 10. Below my parents' picture, that's my brother and I, Easter Sunday with my grandma, and then my grandma and grandpa there in the middle at a wedding that we were at that I was probably a ring bearer at. And then the one on the right corner, Bozo the Clown. No, that's not me. But how many of you guys, anyone know Bozo the Clown? All right. Bozo the Clown, I got to go on that TV show. when I was 4 years old, my mom put in to get tickets, and it took 7 years to get them. Yeah. And so we finally got there. So I'm age 11 there. Look at my little cousin on the left, right? I mean, she's just so happy to be there. But here's the deal. When we were waiting in line, you had Bozo Buckets, but they also had the game at the end where you got to play. And my mom heard that they were looking for well-behaved kids. And she said to me, "You're never going to make it." No. So she said, "Act really nice in line, and maybe they'll ask you." Well, she also said, "I heard that they're looking for nine-year-olds." This was before Christ for me, okay? When they came along, and I said, "How old are you?" I said, "Well, I'm nine." They're like, "Would you like to play in the end game on Bozo the Clown?" I'm like, "Yes." And so I got to do that and got to have my picture with Cookie the Clown and Bozo. All right, next, I added some here because I want to show you our pictures. So here's some throwbacks of Terry and I when we were dating, and I think we were engaged at the time, top left-hand corner. The top right-hand corner is when we did get engaged on a junior high youth retreat. I do not encourage you to do that. Terry said that I had to do it creatively, and I did. But she said, "Don't ever do that again," because we really didn't get too much time to spend together. As you see in that picture, I look like I'm half dead anyway. And she's excited, and I really can't blame her. All right, and the bottom one is a throwback from when our kids were younger. That's Drew, Zach, and Tyler. And so that's a little bit of throwback into seeing a picture into our family. And as we're in this parenting series, we're real people. And we're looking to God's Word to see what we can learn from Scripture and apply it to how we are parenting. Now, whether you are a parent of younger kids, teenage kids, or older adult kids, or you're a grandparent, or maybe you don't have kids, but you're involved in kids' lives in some way, there's going to be something from this message that is going to be there for you. And so that is my prayer. One of the other things that we've been doing is that we have been having guest readers for our scripture. So if you have a Bible with you, you can open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at a passage, verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 17. And then we're going to be looking at some other verses this morning as well, so you want to keep your finger in there. But since I have an almost teenager, a sixth grader, and a teenager that is an 11th grader in my house, we had a little bit of fun last night, recording this. So follow along in your Bibles as we have our guest readers this morning.
My name is Tyler Tinman.
And my name is Zach Tinman, and we are reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, and 10 through 17.
You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God and disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that.
But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose is in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work.
All right. Let's pray together as we begin this morning. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray as we dive into it and look at how do we parent teenagers, how do we raise thriving teenagers, Lord, that you would speak through me, speak through your word. Pray this in your name. Amen. I'm not sure the other weeks how many takes you had to do to get that video going, but we had some fun last night, and thankfully I deleted all the outtakes because we were having fun with that. But this week, we're going to be talking about some principles that we have been learning about the last 4 weeks and then putting them into practice and looking at it through the lens of raising thriving teenagers. Again, as we get into this, you don't have to have it. Don't check out on me because, hey, I don't have a teenager here. Because you might have a younger son or daughter, or you might have some that are older, or you might be a grandparent, or you might not have kids yet. You might even not be married, but some of these principles you can identify with and put into practice in your own life. Just as a review, a quick review, the last 4 weeks we've been talking about parenting, and we started out with discipleship. Then we talked about discipline. What does it look like to discipline our kids? Then we had this powerful week where we had rocks on the stage, and we talked about dedication. And we looked at Joshua chapter 24 and saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are going to be dedicated to serving the Lord. And then last week, we talked about direction. And so some of those you're going to find in the influences that we're going to be talking about today. But I also thought, as I was beginning to prepare for this, what passage, God, do you want me to share? And it brought me to Timothy and looking at his life. And as we were talking in our teaching team, it was like, look at what the influences that Timothy had on his life. Now, if you were with us this last summer, we went through a series called 1 Timothy, and we went through the book. And we're going to look at his life, use his life as somewhat of a case study, as a backdrop for what are some of the key influences that we can have with our kids. I'm going to talk towards teenagers, but again, this could apply to either. So first of all, I have a few disclaimers as I start. Like I said, while this week we're going to be focusing on teenagers, many of those principles can be applied wherever your kids may be, young or old. I have found out that parenting is hard. Parenting is hard no matter the age. No matter what stage you're in, the issues and the circumstances may change a bit, but it's tough being a parent. I didn't like changing dirty diapers. You know what? There's still dirty diapers. They just come in a different form as the ages progress. There's always still maybe a little bit of mess that you have to deal with. So whether you're a young parent or a middle-aged parent or an old parent, whatever that might mean, it's hard, right? And so we want to look to God's word. How can we learn from this? I have three boys, ages 21 to 12, almost 21. He'll be 21 in a couple months. I'm not the perfect parent. Ask them. I'm in process. Just because I serve as a youth pastor and have been working with teenagers for 20-some years, revealing my age a bit, doesn't make me an expert. it makes me a fellow journeyman. I'm doing this along with you. I'm learning from God's word to become a better godly parent. And so some of the keys that we're going to share today, well, I'm with you on it. I'm not saying, hey, do this because I do it well. I'm learning how to do it as well, too. So let's get a little case study of Timothy here, just as maybe a review for those of you that were here this last summer, and maybe you're a guest and you don't know who Timothy is. Timothy grew up in the hometown of Lystra. His mother was Eunice, and his grandma was Lois, and his father, we don't know much about him, but he was of Greek descent. He was a Gentile. Both Eunice and Lois likely converted to Christianity in Paul's first missionary journey through Lystra. And so you find that in Acts chapter 14. Timothy put his faith in the Lord at a very young age because of the influence of his grandma and his mom, and also Paul. Timothy was known as someone who had a solid reputation. The believers in Lystra and Iconium talked highly of him, and Paul wanted to take him on his missionary journeys with him. Paul was impressed with his character and also with the leadership potential that he showed. And I am willing to guess that is because of there was some influence in his life, his mom and his grandma, at least from scripture that we see. Timothy had great knowledge of Judaism and of the scriptures. He also had a Gentile connections through his father, who was a Greek. And so as you look later in his life and when he's ministering to that people group, there's some connections that came in handy there. He became part of the team of missionaries preaching the gospel with Paul. And Paul invested time into Timothy, and we hear about those where he placed him in different church plants throughout his missionary journey. So when you look at the life of Timothy, kind of big picture, there was certain influence in his life that made him to be the person that he was that we read about in some of the later books when he's pastoring and these letters to Timothy that Paul writes to him. And so what I want to do with the remainder time that we have is be able to see that picture of Timothy. And are there some principles, are there some influences that we can use in raising thriving teenagers instead of just surviving? In your notes, I put this as kind of the message in a statement. In the midst of a changing culture around us, we can not only survive raising teenagers, but thrive as we use God's word to influence them in the right direction. As we look at this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 is probably one of those verses that we've all heard or that we've memorized. I know that if you grew up in Awana, you probably had to memorize that verse. But let's get the full picture of what was happening around that verse. If you look at chapter 3, verse 1, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times." Doesn't sound like anything that we deal with today. Might as well just close the Bible and walk out, right? No. Are we dealing with difficult times? And then as you read through that, there will be boasting, proud, scoffing at God, people disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. And then you look at Paul's charge that he brings to Timothy in verses 10 through 17, and we're going to be getting into that a little bit more here. So what I did is I thought, what are some ways, instead of just survive making it through the teenage years, what if we could thrive? What if we could be intentional about that and actually see some progress in our kids' lives? And so if you have your notes there, I left blanks and some blank spots where you can fill in the notes. And I'm going to talk through five key influences that I see that work with raising thriving teenagers, but you can also apply this to whatever age your kids are. So the first one is this, that we need to have a gospel influence in our kids' lives, in our teenagers' lives. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, the Great Commission. Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have this Great Commission that Jesus says, you're to go and make disciples. You're to go and share the gospel. So maybe the natural place that we need to start is right in our own home. Right in our own home. Our first and primary job as a parent is to influence our kids to respond to the gospel. A few weeks ago, we talked about this dedication. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, part of serving the Lord, I believe, is by living out the gospel in front of our kids. Now, I come from a background, as you saw pictures of my brother and my parents. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My mom would take me to church, my brother and I. We grew up in a Methodist church. I was confirmed. I did the acolyte thing, and I did all that. And my view of God used to be, if I am good, if I don't mess up, God won't hit me with a lightning bolt in the head. I can identify, huh? But it wasn't until when I went to camp and realized that it's a relationship with Jesus. My parents got divorced when I was in eighth grade. And so we changed churches and went to this other youth group. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But I was presented what the gospel really is. But it wasn't because my parents did it. I kind of stumbled across it. I was in good situations. I am guessing that there were people praying for me. And I had different people in my life for that. And so, but the gospel might be sitting here, well, what is the gospel? Well, Rex shared it, right? And one of the ways that we share it with our students is that we use the acronym of gospel to be able to share the gospel with people. And that you can use the letters to be able to tell people about the good news. What is it? The six truths of the gospel. The first one is this, that God created us to be with him. You look at Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 2, great things happening there. He wanted to have a relationship with him. But then you go to Genesis chapter 3, and you move to the O. Our sins separate us from God. And so we see the fall happening, and we all inherit this sinful nature. And so what do we do with that sin? Well, the S actually stands for sins. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. We can't do anything. We can't be the nicest person. We can't make sure that we clean our room when we're told or do the dishes, all that kind of stuff. Those things don't make us right with God. It comes to the P of gospel where it says, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Jesus died on the cross for my sins and everyone in this room's sins. Right? And then E, everyone who puts their trust in Jesus will have eternal life. I love the L part of the gospel. It says life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. This is not just fire insurance. Because there's two places, there's heaven and there's hell. And so life starts now. Jesus wants to journey with us now. Jesus wants to be with us in all the difficult things that we are going through now. Jesus wants to be with us through it all. And so that's the gospel. And so that's the kind of gospel influence that we need to have with our kids. I believe that that is the foundation that we need to start with when it comes to raising teenagers, but also raising kids. And we need to live it out. As Christ-following parents, that's what we need to do. We need to live it out in front of our kids. We need to look for ways to raise them up and that they would respond to the gospel themselves. Because here's the truth. My kids can't go to heaven because I've decided to respond to the gospel and put my faith and trust in Jesus. Each person has to do that on their own. And as parents, we want them to own their own faith. And so we need to be able to have that kind of an influence on them. And as you get into the teenage years and when you're dealing with some of the issues or circumstances, as they get into the adult years, as you're dealing with issues and circumstances, you know where you can go back to? Ground floor. Where are you at with the gospel? And so that's the biggest influence for us that we could do with our teenagers. Second one is this, and it kind of goes along with it. It's to have a theological and biblical influence with our kids. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to turn to that, I'm going to read it here, but you can write this down. But I love this, these two verses that talk about the influence. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. We need to be influence our kids in theology and understanding who God is, and also in the Bible. And we're coming to a time where we are biblically illiterate, because we haven't been looking to the Bible. And look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. Specifically in verse 14, it might be something that you underline or highlight. It says this, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Verse 15, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. We need to be teaching our kids from the Bible. Where do you find answers to life? It's through the Scriptures. The Bible, we as parents need to be studying that. We need to be passing that on to our kids. We need to lay that foundation of training, giving our kids the Bible. And as we do that, when we bring them to church, when we bring them to Treehouse, when we bring them to Impact and the different things that we do, that is reinforced because it is happening at home. If we go back to the passage in Deuteronomy, you know, it's our role as parents to be passing on Scripture, passing on God to our kids. So here's a couple of things that I think about parents, and I put myself into this. Let's model to our kids the importance of getting into God's Word. Being able for, Pastor Blair said this before, being able to have your kids see you reading Scripture. Open up or read Scripture together, or talk about what you're learning from Scripture with your kids. So if you're dealing with a situation, you say, hey, I was reading this, and this is what God has taught me in this situation. Use Scripture to back that up. How about this? Be sure that your kids have one of these, a Bible. And I know that Bible apps are great, and it's handy, but there's something about having a Bible that you could put in your hands. And if you don't have a Bible, maybe you're not a kid. Well, you're a kid because you were born at some point, but there are Bibles in the back. You can have one of those. Our youth ministry, we started using the Jesus-centered Bible. We love the Jesus-centered Bible because it has Jesus in it. No, not because of that. But what it does is in the Old Testament, it has blue letters throughout the New Testament. You're like, what are these blue letters all about? Well, those are passages that point to the Jesus of the New Testament. And so what you're able to do with the Jesus-centered Bible is see Jesus thread through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you want one of those Bibles, talk to me. I've got some in my office. When facing a decision or a choice, when facing a decision or choice to make or circumstances in life, align yourself with what the Bible teaches. This last week, you know, it's new show season, right? There's different shows that we enjoy watching. And just the other day, Terry texted me, there's a certain show that we like to watch. And she said, you know what? I just watched this episode, and they're pushing an agenda in it. And you know what? She said, we can't watch it anymore. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. How about this? Have you guys ever walked out on a movie because of something that was being portrayed and you said, no, I can't do that because it doesn't align with Scripture? Am I always perfect on that? No. But it brings conviction to me that I need to do better. So align things with Scripture. All right, third one is this. Disciple making influence. We need to have disciple making influence with our kids. Here's what I think. Disciple making is about relationship, is all about relationships, and more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. Here's the bummer. As good as this message is, I know that not everyone's going to remember it. All right? But it's going to be out of the relationship with other people that they're going to remember things. So we learn more what is caught than taught. Check out what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. It says, you know what I teach. This is Paul talking. How I live and what my purpose in life is. You know why Timothy grew like he did? It's because he spent time with Paul, who was discipling him. And he saw what he was teaching. He saw how he lived his life. He saw what the purpose of his life was. And he was being made into a disciple of Jesus. And so we need to look at different opportunities with our kids. Whether you're changing the tire on your car, going grocery shopping, whatever it might be, that's a discipleship, disciple-making opportunity. All right, we need to get to these last two. Next one is this, peer influence. Your kids have friends. Are they the right friends? Where are your kids finding their community? In Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about that we need to spur one another on to love and good deeds and not stop meeting together. And so we have this culture right now where there's bullying, there's gossip, there's hatefulness. And so we want to have our kids around positive peer influences and not the negative ones. And so that you have school and sports teams, and some of those can destroy kids. But you know what? We have, I believe, a pretty good children's ministry here. I think we have a pretty good youth ministry. And we have leaders. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That will help spur your kids to reinforce what you're doing at home. Check out this picture here, and a little throwback. This is me as teenage Scott. There's center there where I graduated, a picture with my mom, but some of those other relationships came out of my experience with the church that I grew up in. My graduation party, the picture where there's myself right below, or right above the reboot there, that's my cousin and my good friend Randy. I am probably the person I am today because it started with being involved in a youth ministry where I built good relationships, and that spurred me on and helped me to make good choices. Did I always make good choices? No, I was a teenager. All right? When my kids don't make good decisions, and I want to see them making better decisions, Terry reminds me, remember, you were one of those before. And so we just need to work through it and help them to overcome that. So there's different places that kids could get involved, whether it's Treehouse. We have a youth retreat this weekend. I remember youth retreats for when I went to it, and those were great times to be able to get away with kids my age and have fun, but also learn from the Scriptures and from God. And those relationships went into my weekly relationships. Every week I was hanging out with my friends from church as well as my friends at school, and I was able to influence some of my friends at school that didn't know who Christ was. And so we need to have that peer influence. All right, last one is this, mentor influence. We need to have other adults speaking into our kids' lives. That happens at Impact. That happens at Treehouse. That happens in D groups and other places where kids can do that in our context here. They say it takes a village to raise our kids, because we need other adults speaking the same thing that we're speaking at home, that is reinforcing the things that we want our kids to learn. So when I have my own kids, and because I'm the youth pastor, I could make it happen. I make sure that I'm not the ones that's doing my kids' small group. You know why? Because I want another male speaking into my kids' life. Chap Clark wrote a book a few years ago called Hurt. One of the things that came out of that book is that it used to be that if you had one adult for every six teenagers, that was a good ratio, and that things were all good. And he said, today it is flipped. Teenagers today need six positive influence in one life. They need six people speaking into their life. All right? There's only two parents, maybe only one at times, maybe a grandparent. You got a room full here. Will you be one of the six? Will you be one of the six that speak into a teenager's life? Let me show you another picture, a little throwback one. Steve Wozniak. Steve was one of the six. He was my youth leader. Look at our small group there. We looked like a bunch of goofballs. But he was one of the six speaking into my life. Paul was one of the six for Timothy. Eunice was one. Lois was one. So grandparents, I don't have anything to give. Yes, you do. Actually, grandparents, you are perfect youth leaders, children's ministry leaders, to be able to speak into kids' lives. So here's the question. Are you thriving or are you just surviving? As we look at these different key influences, which one stands out to you? Which one do you maybe need to put a little bit more work into? Which one do you need some help with and where the church can come alongside and help you to do that? Are you not connected to our children's ministry or youth ministry? Children's ministry meets every Sunday, and once that construction is done, we're going to get Wednesday nights going again. Youth group is Sunday nights. Come join us tonight, Sunday night. And if you don't have anything next weekend, today's the deadline to sign up for that retreat. We'd love to have you. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for today. Thank you for the example of Timothy and Paul and the relationship that they had together. We thank you that Paul was one of the six. And Lord, I thank you for the different adults you brought into my life that I'm standing up here today talking about it. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to each one here. What is it, that next step that we need to take? Pray this in your name. Amen.